Well, I want to welcome you on this fine fall day. I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to get an attitude. I've maybe put 100 miles on my motorcycle. So anyhow, my issues, I know. You guys don't feel for me. I'm feeling the lack of love there, lack of love. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, Lord, may you open it up to us and apply it in the very unique ways that will fit the circumstances and the heart and the attitudes of our own lives and the ways in which you want to form us into the image of Jesus Christ as your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago, I made a confession to you. The confession was this: I'm a jerk. I have within me this jerk within, and he's ever present and always there and always seeking to disrupt and sabotage the very work that Jesus wants to do within my life. Anybody there with me? I thought you might want to see a picture of what this jerk looks like. Okay? Now, don't laugh too much, because I was going to put a picture of Jim's jerk up there. He doesn't know I have, but I do. But we all have a picture of a jerk within us, right? We all have this jerk, this thing that sabotages us. This jerk within is far too easily agitated and angered by those who would wrong him or slight him in any way or disrespect. Oftentimes, offenses perceived and otherwise hurt us, make us angry when those offenses should not really matter that much. This last week, two weeks ago, I read a post from a gal that I actually went to high school with. Her name is Jill. She was a part of my church in Southern California where I pastored, or was an associate pastor. And she's kind of a spunky lady. I've always appreciated her. But this last week, she had a particularly bad, or 2 weeks ago, she had a particularly bad morning. And she posted this on where else but Facebook, right? And I thought I'd read it for you. She said this: I went to Stater Brothers Market before work this morning to beat the holiday crowd. Only one register was open, though. No other cashiers were available. And it was the express line. Now, I have a cart that's filled with groceries that I've loaded onto the belts. The cashier is trying as best she can to cash a check, print lottery tickets, and ring up the person that is in front of me. There's one guy behind me with four items. Then a super nice and understanding man walks up with two items. Without skipping a beat, he exclaims, 15 items or less, lady. I answer, I understand, sir, but there's no other lines available. Then you have to wait until the people who are following the rules go first. Anybody ever meet this person? I ignore him, of course, as I'm apt to do. And he cries out again, you have to let us go first. And I ignore him. The cashier is still doing three jobs, and he continues to insist that I let everyone with fewer items go first. The cashier looks at him and tells him to stop, but he refuses. So, I grab all of the dividers, I split my items into orders of six or less, and I run several transactions, each with a different credit card. As I leave, I smile sweetly and I wish him a magical day. I hate people. You know what my jerk within said? That was creative. Dang, why couldn't I have thought of that? But then I thought, well, creative, yes, but You know, we all have a jerk within us. I was thinking, what might it look like to start a Jerks Anonymous group here? Hi, I'm Martin, and I'm a jerk. Complete it. John, complete it. Hi, I'm Martin. You were good. But then, you know what would happen is we'd build community, and then my jerk would hate your jerk. And then it would go downhill from there. Because that's the way jerks are, right? That's just the way it is. I started thinking, is it possible to experience life where the jerk within doesn't rule my life? Or when the attitude rises up within me, it doesn't want to grab the wheel and express itself in all of its ugliness, where it doesn't take over my heart, my emotions. Yeah, that's what I think about that. I think, Lord, is it possible that this can be a reality in greater and greater measure? So I don't feel compelled to take revenge, to honk at the person who continues to drive through the red light after mine turns green and say, what a jerk. Or to flash my lights or honk my horn at the person who's camping in the third lane, the fast lane. Anybody ever have those? I was really appreciating John. He says one day he was targeting them. That's good as long as it wasn't me. Is it possible to where you just say, you know what? Things that matter to me so much, that grab my heart and grab my emotion, really don't need to matter that much. And I don't have to give it the voice and the power that it seems to have so much of the time. Is it possible that the jerk within will actually fade over time? I ask those questions. So when I came a couple weeks ago and I started looking ahead and seeing what I was going to be dealing with this morning, I thought of these questions because they really do ride with me everywhere. Jesus confronts the jerk within as we go through the Sermon on the Mount and talk about what renewal looks like within the heart to be called out of the chaos of this world. And to become and grow as passionate followers of Jesus Christ, to grow into His image so that I'm actually becoming more like Him and not just trying to be like Him, to where I'm actually becoming more like Him from the inside out and not just trying to look like it from the outside in. Is that possible? And I believe it is. Jesus confronts this jerk within. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48 that we're looking at today, you can turn there. But Jesus talks about narratives here, and He says, you have heard that it was said. In other words, He's telling them, this is what you've heard for all of your life. This is what your daddy taught you. This is what your granddaddy taught your daddy. This is what your great-granddaddy taught your granddaddy, who taught your daddy, who taught you. It's been passed down from generation to generation, the narrative that formed their understanding, the narrative that formed their behavior, the narrative that formed their expectations and how they engaged. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Martin, I thought that's cool. I thought it was love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemy too. Well, that is it. That was what it was originally in the beginning, but they changed it because of the jerk within. We've always had the jerk within. Kim said to me the other day, she says, isn't that called the sin nature or the old man? Yeah, it is. That's the theological and the biblical reference to it. I just like the jerk. Because that's how I identify with it. But Jesus confronts the jerk within by first and foremost confronting the lie, the narrative that guided, that shaped their behavior, their expectations, their understanding of how to engage life. But they believed through this narrative and this practice that it is a good thing to love those who like you, or those who are like you, your family, your friends, like-minded people, your tribe, those that you hang out with. And if you do, they really believe that if you did this, you're following the ways of your Father. This is what God calls us into. This is what it looks like to be His people, His sons and daughters, is you love those who are like you. But it's also okay to hate those with a vengeance. That's the idea of the word hate there. To hate with a vengeance those who are different from you. I can't think of anything that would be more appropriate for this nation at this day. It's okay to hate those who are different from you. Now, I'm referring to the enemy here as the jerk within, or those who would not like me, or those who would be different from me. What happened to the enemy that was really a true enemy? ISIS, or people like that, the person who would try to kill you. Is Jesus saying is that we don't have a right to defend ourselves? If I'm going to love my enemy, do I not have a right to defend myself? I'm not going to deal with that today because I don't think that's what specifically Jesus is addressing. Now, does what he say today address that in a broader scope? Yes, but specifically we're just going to deal with those who would offend you. Those who would hurt you, those who are not like you, those who would disagree with you. And I'm going to deal with the broader scope of, is it okay to defend oneself, and is it okay to take up arms? I think I'm going to deal with it in a series I'm putting together. I'm going to call, I think, taboo, topics that we don't like to talk about in the church this fall, where we deal with things like self-defense and civil disobedience and gun control and things like that. Things that you don't normally deal with in the church. So we're looking at dealing with that this fall. So, but I think that Jesus specifically is not talking here about those who would harm you. He's just talking about those who are not like you. I believe he refers to those who annoy and antagonize and advocate different ideas and attack you based upon them. And if they do, or when they do, the jerk within me rises up and we are inclined to nurture and to justify this life-sucking desire to take them out. Right? That's what the jerk within does. And Jesus confronts this very, very idea. We see this almost every week. I see this almost every week on Facebook, where religious people allow the jerk within to rule. Religious people participate in some of the most ungodly diatribes against those with whom they disagree. Now, I would like to attribute it simply to the fact that we are in a political season. But it really transcends that. I've had to unfriend a couple of people in the last 2 weeks. I just can't take it with anymore. Their jerk is antagonizing my jerk. All right? I even resisted for a little while, thinking my jerk just needs to get tamed. But then I thought, you know what? If I don't want to eat the donut, I'm not going to go to the donut store. You're wondering, where's that come from? I haven't had a donut in a few days. I'm talking about things that happen in churches, where behaviors take place that ought not to take place within the community of faith. Those who claim to be followers of Jesus, who are seeking to become like Jesus, where they fight and they grumble in the shadows, or they outright slander others and think nothing of it. Because they think, well, that's just how I feel. It's okay to love those who are like me, but it's really okay to not to hate those who aren't. Oh, I would never say it like that, but that's how I behave. Those are the words that come out of my mouth. Can you believe what Mark did? Can you believe what he did? What did he do? I know you all want to know. Sorry, I'm trying to come up with a good one, Mark, but I can't think of it right now. That is, he got new rims for his car. Can you believe it? Mark, do you know what I could have done with the money that he spent on those rims? I could have given it to Jesus. Did you see how he powder coated the calipers and everything? Oh, they look nice. But you know what I could have done with that money? He could have taken me out to dinner. I love you, buddy. I love you. Where was I going? What I'm talking about, and I think what Jesus is referring to, and you can see this in the previous passage, is how we treat others who treat us in ways that we consider poorly. And we respond in ways that are ungodly. Even subtle ways. And we think it's okay. It's okay. I don't think second of it. I saw a bumper sticker on the back of a Toyota 4Runner a couple of weeks ago. And I snapped a picture of it. And it says, "Religion converted me to atheism." I think, I get that. Having ministered in churches for 30 years, I get that. With things that I saw and things that people, myself included, don't give a second thought to. That don't represent in any form or fashion the ways of Jesus. The heart of Jesus. Why is that? Because it pokes within me, that jerk within. And just responds so freely as if it's okay. And Jesus confronts that lie. But I tell you, you have heard that it was said, it's okay to love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But I tell you, I'm giving you an entirely different narrative, an entirely different understanding of reality. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, there's a spectrum of stuff here. But what does Jesus mean? I think he's calling his disciples, those he is calling out of the chaos and the death and the destruction of this world that we read about on Facebook and we read about in the newspapers and that maybe we have even experienced. He's calling those of us to say, I know what you feel like when you are treated poorly, but don't allow that jerk within to take over. I want to set you free from that jerk. But I'm calling you to replace it with something. Rather than being a jerk back, I'm calling you to treat people better than they deserve to be treated. To treat people better than they deserve to be treated. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he goes on in verse 45, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Now, he's not saying that that's what makes us the sons of the Father in heaven. He is saying that that's what makes us like him. The idea is that you become like your Father. You take on your father's character. This is transformation. And it's not transformation simply from the outside in, but it's in from the inside out. He said, I want you to have the father, your father's heart, so that you can treat people in the father's way. Well, how did the father treat them? What was he like? For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. You could translate this, he causes the sun to rise on the jerks and on those who aren't being jerks, and he sends rain to rise, he sends rain on the ones who are not jerks and on those who are really big jerks. Now, that's not a literal Greek translation, but you get the idea. God directs his blessings of his common grace to everyone. Jerk and unjerked. God understands, though. He says, I know that this is tough, but see what I've done for you. See what I'm like and how I've loved you. But Martin, enemies can be hurtful. How do I treat them in a way that they don't deserve to be treated? How do I treat them in a kind way? How do I love them? Well, in both Old and New Testaments, talks about how you do good for those, good for your enemies when given the opportunity. Proverbs 25:21, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. When we do, people see the grace that God has for the godless. But also you pray for them. How do you pray for them? Do I give the jerk prayer? A little hellfire and brimstone right over there, Father. Take out my sword and cut off the ear like Peter did with the servant in the garden. We'll talk about that in the fall, but no, that's not the idea that we're talking about here. I think that we say, God, may your will be done. May your will be done in his life and in mine. In his life and in mine. But Martin, it doesn't matter. I can do some good for him and I can pray for him, but I still want to beat the jerk out of him. I get that. And this is the part of me that really says, okay, I don't want to just be from the outside in. I'm just going to shut my mouth, although there are many times I do that, and it's a good thing. It's a godly thing to shut my mouth sometimes. But this is the part where I want to say, God, I don't want this to rule my life. Instead, God, I don't want it in my life. And I realize that this may be an issue between me and you. And I've tried to press into Jesus and say, Jesus, I want peace in my soul, even in the midst of the anger in my circumstances, even in the midst of being treated poorly. That's what I want. See, Jesus was able to be at peace even when he was being poor, being treated horrendously. Now, I know Jesus was the Son of God, and he had sort of a few upgrades that we don't necessarily always have, right? But he was still a man. And he understands the war that we fight. Regardless of his upgrades, he lived life as a man. When he had the opportunity to seek revenge and call down 10,000 angels on his behalf, he chose not to. He chose instead to treat people better than they deserve to be treated. And he prayed for them. I was reading the story of Stephen in Acts 7 this last week. And I was quite moved by it. As I read the story, I thought, Lord, I don't want the offenses of others to really matter to me at all. And as I read Stephen's life there in Acts chapter 7, where he's preached the gospel to people who did not want to hear it, but instead they said, we refuse to listen to this. Not only that, but we're not just going to leave. We're going to stay and we're going to stone you to death. And they picked up rocks and they started stoning him. You know what I would have done? I would have said, you may be able to take me out, but I'm going to take a few of you with me. And I'd start hucking stones too. But what happened was an amazing thing. And I think that that's probably what Stephen was inclined to do. So at least I want to believe that. It's not in the text, but I want to believe that. But instead, he looked up and it says he became filled with the Spirit. And he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, I've always saw that as Jesus was ready to pounce and destroy the jerks. But I read one thing this last week that says perhaps it was because Jesus was standing in honor of Stephen. But regardless, Stephen was filled with the Spirit. And then you know what he did? He said, Father, receive my spirit. And by the way, please, don't destroy them. They have no idea what they're doing. See, essential to dealing with the jerk within for me is really kind of getting back to the idea of, Lord, what's it look like? Help me rediscover maybe in a deeper way the whole idea of being filled with your Spirit. Because when the jerk within wants to rise up, I know that that's not the Holy Spirit. That's Martin's spirit. But if the Holy Spirit were to replace that with something, what might it be? And it would be peace. It would be peacefulness. Now, I don't think we'll get it all at once, boom, just this giant download. We might, for that instance. But I think that there's a progression, a transformation that takes place within us that says, let me help you experience in deeper and deeper ways, because your jerk grows really deep, Martin, and I'm going to help you experience it at this level, but then we have to deal with the jerk at this level and at this level and at this level. I think, man, will the jerk ever be gone? And yes, when I see Jesus. Until then, you guys have to put up with my jerk. But hopefully lesser and lesser and lesser. But see, that's the thing. I really believe it's a Holy Spirit thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing where we press into Jesus and we say, Jesus, Father, fill me with your Spirit. Because right now I'm not filled with your Spirit, I'm filled with mine. And it isn't pretty. But each step of the way we make this decision to treat others better than they deserve to be treated, so that we may become more and more like our Father who is in heaven. His character, his heart towards all people. We make this decision, this choice, with our will and not our emotions. Sorry, I can't claim I didn't do it because I didn't feel like it. Jesus asks us to make a decision to treat a person in a certain way, not feel a certain way. Martin, I'm not there. I think Jesus should deal with the jerks around me. That way my jerk wouldn't be such a problem. Anybody agree with that? Then I could be King Jerk. My jerk never gets challenged. But that's just not how it works. The greatest act of love is when we do it, even if we don't feel like it. If I do it only when I feel like it, then my motivation is really all about me, right? If I do it when I don't feel like it, my motivation becomes more like Jesus, more about Jesus. But if you love me, those who love you, what reward will you get? What's that about? Jesus is saying, you know, as you become more like me and you live this out in the midst of the horrible, ugly chaos of this world, I am noticing. I'm watching. I'm not just empowering, but I'm watching how you take ownership for this process. And I'm impressed. And yes, there will be some rewards for you at the end of that deal. I have no idea what they are. But if the God of the universe says, I'm going to reward you, I want to make sure I don't miss that ceremony, right? What reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? So I'm not calling you to be like everybody else. I'm calling you to be radically different. When people return good for good, people don't notice. When people return bad for bad, people don't notice. But when people return good for bad, that gets their attention. Especially God's. And I understand, folks, this is deep water faith. This is deep water being. Not just doing, but being. Augustine said back in the early church, he said, to love those who love you, that is human. To hate those who love you, that is demonic. But to love those who hate you, that's God. That's divine. But shouldn't we set boundaries? I mean, after all, you know, people can be evil. Yes, you should. Love is not blind or stupid or masochistic or here I'm going to love you so let me allow you to hurt me. We'll talk more about this in the fall. But like God's love, it has boundaries that include justice. But it does call us to not treat people as enemies. Martin, it's too difficult. I struggle sometimes to love my own friends. Yeah, because it's a becoming kind of a thing that we don't have the power to do within ourselves. We have the power to make choices, but we don't have the power to change. But that becomes a Holy Spirit thing. So when things start to fly, I don't pick up rocks and start to throw them back. But instead, God says, I'm going to change you. As you engage in these circumstances, I'm going to change you from the inside out. But it's hard. Bertrand Russell, who was an atheistic philosopher in Britain, raised in the Christian home, he said, the Christian principle, love your enemies, is good. There's nothing to be said against it, except that it's too difficult for most of us to practice sincerely. And he's right. Apart from the power and the submission and the pressing into the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he's right. But there is grace and there's hope for all jerks. That's what I'm here to tell you. There's grace for people like me and you. Jesus says, be perfect, therefore. And it's a future indicative and means he's calling us forward into something that we're not yet there at. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Make it your heart's desire to become like your Father and your character. And it begins on your knees. And it's lived out in the circumstances of life. And thank God for grace. For Jesus' whole emphasis in chapter 5, in this last half of chapter 5, is that you can't do any of these and try to get your righteousness. Because then you start creating loopholes like the Pharisees did. Your righteousness can only come from me. So while I call you into this direction, into this new way of being, this new way of being and this new way of living out this new being, just understand this. Your capacity and your ability to do that in a progressive way and to do it well will not give you your righteousness. I've already given that to you. Amen? But the righteousness that I've given to you is seeking to change you into the kind of person that will begin to live this out in greater measure. So that we actually become different than the world around us. But this transformation is a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit. But it's also to be a work of community. What do I mean by that? Means as a community, we must be willing to say, call what is. And that is, your jerk is showing. Is that really what you want? Or I confess to you, my jerk is showing. And that's not what I want. Please forgive me. Rather than sit back and just justify ungodly behaviors, ungodly actions, ungodly hearts. And I'll tell you what, this whole process that I share with you in terms of sharing with you my life, it's really therapeutic for me. Because I don't have to try to be something that I'm not yet there. So I feel good saying, hi, I'm Martin, I'm a jerk. It really is therapeutic. It's okay. But that's where we as a community come together to pray and to say, what would it look like for you to be ruled by peace and not rage? To connect with the Father. I'll close with this. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote of Thomas Cranberry, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He said this of him after he met him. To do this man wrong was to beget a kindness to him, for his heart was so rich of such fine mold that if you sowed therein the seeds of hate, they blossomed into love. I want to be this kind of person that regardless of how someone treats me, regardless, I want to become a person who continues to more and more love well. Not hate well. I got that one down. But to love well. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, you don't make it easy on us. You really love to rub us in different ways than what we've grown accustomed to. But Lord, I thank you for your courage to call us out of what has become, what is, what we're born into that is so normal, and to become a different kind of person, not by our own efforts, but by the power of your Spirit. So Father, I pray that you would indeed fill us. And Lord, where we sabotage that with these old narratives, these old belief systems, these old way, these acceptable ways of living and being. Lord, as you call us out of that, Lord, may you take and replace it with the sense of peace and the sense of joy that you are calling us into. But Father, that's what we long for. That's what we long for. We don't want to have to continue to fight the jerk within the old sin nature, the old man. Father, I thank you that as we do battle it, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But Lord, thank you that you are calling us into a deeper reality that is such a deep, different kind of person, a person that is set free. In Jesus' name, amen.